Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refined, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you to, if you don't know him already, Craig Brommers, who is the Chief Marketing Officer of American Eagle. He and I recently got to spend some time together in Miami, and I've convinced him to come onto the show, so really excited to have this conversation. Craig has led global marketing for some of the most iconic brands in retail that I'm sure you all know well, The Gap, Abercrombie & Fitch, Calvin Klein, and in 2020, he joined American Eagle as Chief Marketing Officer. As many of you know as well, it tends to be a Gen Z hit, right? American Eagle leaning into youth culture, including influencer partnerships, product collaborations, community impact, and Craig and his team sit at the heart of all of that. So really excited to dig into the conversation with him today. And I'm sure afterwards, if you're not following him on LinkedIn, you will, because you could feel his excitement in almost all of his posts about his enthusiasm about the brand and about the industry. So Craig, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Melissa, finally, we're together. This is going to be so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited you could be here. So I gave the highest level introduction of you possible, I feel like, but maybe you can tell the audience a little bit more, you know, about your kind of career journey, right, into American Eagle and what you're spearheading today.
Melissa, I have had the privilege of leading marketing for some of the most iconic American retail brands. As you've mentioned, I'm about 4.5 years into my journey at American Eagle. I was prior at Gap, at Abercrombie & Fitch, at Calvin Klein. It's been quite a run. I think that the bat phone rings when an iconic American retail brand needs some help through some sort of evolution. And for Calvin, that was geographic and digital evolution. For Abercrombie, it was definitely brand evolution. Gap was kind of trying to bring back the great Gap vibes. And here at American Eagle, it's interesting because, yes, there was a brand evolution, but it was a generational evolution as well. And we are deep in the heart of Gen Z, but we're also catering to millennials. And there's the emerging Gen Alpha generation as well. So it's a really fascinating time to be here.
Yeah, and that's a lot of different, like, attributes across those generations that you have to continuously think about. Because individually they're evolving as generations, and then they have to coexist in environments and in activations with your brand.
Certainly. And I think you could argue that Gen Z really is setting culture in the world today, and that's why they are bullseye. But millennials have actually been a cohort that have really stuck with the brand and know us for quality. They know us for our jeans. And then Gen Alpha, again, really emerging and beginning to buy our brands, fascinating generation as well. So it's going to be a really exciting time, not just from a generational perspective, but also with the advent of AI. I mean, it's going to be a great time in the next couple of years in retail and certainly here at American Eagle.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll have to dig into AI a little bit too, but I guess this is a good place to start because, you know, in your role as Chief Marketing Officer, you have to take a holistic perspective about the consumer, how you engage with them, if they're existing, how to attract new, how to build loyalty. Where do you look to study trends? Because I know you're on the pulse of things. Where are you studying trends and how are you figuring out what's resonating and effective strategies for that are on brand and then resonate with your target audience?
I love this question. And of course, any major brand, we do lots of research outside of the American Eagle family. But I think one of the interesting things that we do, and we do it better than most places I've been, is actually look internally as well. Why do I say that? We have 35,000 store associates. A vast majority of them are Gen Z. And a vast majority love our brand, love our values, love our products. And so we've actually tapped into this population more so than I've seen in other places to kind of get a real feel for what's going on in the real world. Listen, we have the second largest retail store footprint in the U.S. We serve all 50 states. And while America is America, America is also made up of regional differences as well. And I love the fact that our teams in the field can kind of pull apart some of those differences and nuances from a product assortment strategy, from a marketing strategy, and even from an experiential strategy. We also have a really interesting panel of Gen Z consumers, We have 2,000 people age 15 to 25 that we can ask any question on any topic, and we often do. And sometimes it's just a quick pulse on something that might be happening, and sometimes it might be something even deeper that we want to get into. So I think the picture I'm painting is of Captain Obvious saying that the customer has to be at the heart of everything that a retailer mm-hmm. does today. But what I will say is that Gen Z moves at lightning speed. And if you aren't keeping up, you literally will become irrelevant. And I think that that is why we have had to set up this kind of rapid response. And I'm not just talking from a social media perspective, but a rapid response from product perspective, from a sourcing perspective, from a manufacturing perspective, to make sure we're on top of the latest and greatest trends. And I think our team has done a really nice job with that.
I want to like zero in on so many things, the store associate, because it's so important. And then just there's actually different personas within Gen Z. But when you talk about lightning speed, I'm going to say, you know, you had a gift at the beginning of the year with the Super Bowl, speaking of having to respond at lightning speeds. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that? Because, I mean, that wasn't just Gen Z residents in that, but the gift you got and then how your teams had to respond and kind of capture the opportunity.
And Melissa, I think this is a hallmark of modern retail marketing. You have to be both proactive and reactive. One of the clear emerging cultural trends of the last couple of years is that sports now is more than ever at the heart of culture. And we've been pretty active in a number of spaces. And even going into that Super Bowl weekend, we had certain players wearing American Eagle during their tunnel walk, and we were doing some great advertising with some partners. But to your point, I mean, talk about the football landing in your lap at the right time. Kendrick Lamar walks out in flare jeans. Most of America equates flare jeans with American Eagle back in the 2000s, and the proverbial crowd goes wild. And almost overnight, in fact, it was literally overnight, Google searches for American Eagle flare jeans were up 125%. According to Placer AI, which is a company that tracks store traffic for our industry, traffic into American Eagle stores were up 25%. And many of the flare jean styles that we had in stock were gone. In fact, in some cases, still gone. We're still trying to get back in stock. But I have to give full credit to our amazing team because, to your point, they jumped into the conversation immediately and helped fan those flames. And some of them were literally tirelessly working overnight. And on Monday night, the day after the Super Bowl, when the New York Post said that American Eagle owned the Super Bowl, I knew that our job was done. And it just, again, shows you this the speed and the nimbleness and flexibility that is required to win in this really fast-paced retail environment, certainly with that Gen Z customer base.
No, absolutely. And to your point, because you have such an activated relationship, right, with your teams, and I think the store associates, it gives them kind of, they believe that they're part of the organization, not just a store associate, right? Like they're almost a business partner to you. And in that moment, they can affect the business too.
Yeah. And Melissa, we get feedback from our field teams at least every Monday. And then if there are things that are emerging during the week, we want to hear about that as well. And as you could imagine, even up to my level, we're out in stores quite often and asking for feedback. And I think that the mindset that we have here at American Eagle is we are in service in a supporting function for our amazing field team, because they are literally on the front lines of that relationship with our customer base. And so I was recently on spring break. I made every attempt and did get into our local store in Scottsdale. And I got some really interesting, nuanced regional feedback that you don't get when you stare at a spreadsheet or you don't get in your ivory tower in New York all the time. And so I think that that push and pull between that field function and those of us on the home office team is really important.
No, absolutely. Well, speaking of the stores, you've been recognized this year for your lived-in store concept. And then there's been some write-ups on that. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, what are the unique attributes of this concept? What is making it work and resonate? And how is it elevating the business overall?
So Melissa, I'm just going to say it because I believe it. And I've been told that this is the most successful retail concept in our 48-year history. And to your point, we call it lived in. Just to back up a little bit, I joined the team during the pandemic in 2020, and a few other key members of our leadership team did at the same time. And we have had to refine and evolve product, marketing, and other aspects. But ultimately, a lot of our business, most of our business happens in our 900 stores, and they needed a refresh. And we needed to have a retail concept that reflected where our brand was going and where our product was going. And when you think about our brand values of optimism, of inclusion, of aspiration, of this idea that the customer should almost feel a warm hug when they walk into our store because the associates are on your side and helping you find your size or your fit or your color, whatever it is we needed a concept that really felt lived in and human. Mm-hmm. And so we went to work in developing this, and we have tested a few things in a few markets and found the concept that we believed in most and honestly was most driving our KPIs. And we've been rolling that out. Now we have almost 200 lived in stores. I think the biggest difference that our customers will find if they were able to interact in a lived in store, a couple things. One, I think the lighting and the materials in the store really elevate the product. I can go into one of our older concept stores and still be very proud of how we show up and very proud of product. And I know you're such a retail expert, Melissa, but it is just so obvious when you walk into this new store concept that everything just feels richer and more vibrant and more covetable. And again, you can see it in the KPIs that the same product is selling better in these lived-in stores than they are in our older concepts. So it's been so exciting to bring to life, so rewarding to see the customer react to it. Mm-hmm. And just a great reminder to all of us that are in retail that retail is theater these days. And if you're going Absolutely. To make the attempt to get into a car, perhaps parking, you know, and paying for a parking spot at a mall, you need and want something that feels special and unique. And I think this store concept does that for us.
Yeah. I mean, people underestimate the importance of lighting. So I'm glad you brought that up because it's everything. Is it flattering when you're in the fitting room, and how well can you see the product and everything? And it sets a tone. Same thing with materiality for sure. And I think you have some great messaging in there too. And to your point, I think there's a lot of little speed bumps in there by the way you merchandise and with the messaging that whoever's visiting the store feels seen too. It's almost like you're having this like subliminal dialogue. And I think that's really great as well.
Melissa, I really am glad that you brought up fitting rooms because that is really where the transaction happens before the customer heads to the register. And we spent an exorbitant amount of time in getting those fitting rooms right. And I know you publicly spoke about this before, so I just want to double click into what you've recommended our industry look at. Is it's really a gathering place now. It is a place where Gen Z for sure, but other generations as well, are shopping with multiple friends. And in some cases, you know, they're snapping their friends with, hey, do you like these jeans or do you like this top or whatever it is? And so it almost becomes a gathering place from a physical and digital perspective for people to not just try on the clothes, but honestly show off the clothes and have some validation from friends or family in the moment. Because when I think about the last decade, the biggest difference that I see for Gen Z shoppers is they are walking in the store and showing our store associate their phone first. And what do I mean by that? They're showing an influencer who may be wearing a certain product. They're showing some inspiration on a Pinterest board because they're going to a Taylor Swift or Beyonce concert. They may see an mm-hmm. athlete and they want to riff off of that. So it is really this dynamic, physical, digital experience that Gen Z is demanding and we are offering.
Yeah, and so many things on that. So I want to get back to the phone and the power of that remote control in the store, but also in the fitting rooms. It's facilitating that community aspect. But you've also been testing aspects of the opportunity of AI and also smarter fitting room experiences. So maybe you could tell the audience a little bit about that, what you've tested thus far, and how you think that's been additive to the
Yeah,
experience.
the age of AI is here. And listen, we are a company that is founded in being real. And so it is kind of tricky to find our exact way into this AI world. But I've told myself, I've told my team that AI is going to happen to us or AI is going to happen with us. And so we're going to go down the with us path and make sure that we utilize this research, or sorry, this technology in a way that feels most like American Eagle. So to your point, in the store, we are beginning to test out things that help styling, that help inventory refulfillment, that are going to help people look at styling tips on our app as well. So there's so many aspects that we are just beginning to play around with in this new era of AI that are going to have a profound impact on our industry and hopefully a profoundly positive experience for our customer. I think when you and I are doing this podcast 1 or 2 years from now, I think that our minds will be blown by how this is really impacting the physical world shopping experience. I think so many of us, including myself, I'm guilty of it, are focused on what it can do in media or content development or on our e-commerce site. I think the physical world is really going to dramatically be impacted as well.
I agree. And I know a later question I plan to ask is about the future, but when you had mentioned that people walk in with their phone, it does make me think of Gen Alpha too, right? Which is like up and coming for you guys, but they're learning a lot of their relationships with brands. And I know you've dabbled in the Roblox world and stuff too, but that's how they're starting to get affiliations, and they have avatars and they're dressing those avatars. And then they're looking at that and going to the stores too and saying, I want to dress like that. And so to your point, what is that mixed reality world going to look like for them in the future?
I think it's so important to really experiment in these worlds because the fascinating thing about Gen Alpha we've beginning to find is they have so many different sides of themselves that they want to share. They have the real world, but they can be five people in the real world at any one time. And to your point, they can go into Roblox and develop avatars. I think there's going to be a world where Gen Alpha is going to create an outfit in a Roblox-like world or whatever Roblox is down the road, and then walk into our store and say, I want to physically get this now to wear in the real world. So we're really curious about the interaction and interplay of those two things going forward. You've said it before on this podcast, is this is a generation that literally does not know a world where experiences are not hyper personalized, experiences aren't hyper digitized, and yet they are going to be teenagers. And the one interesting thing I've found in my career and here at American Eagle is a teenager is a teenager is a teenager is a teenager, and they still crave some physical interaction. And as we look at even to store traffic over the last year or so, there's no doubt American Eagle is winning in the malls because there's no doubt Gen Z and now Gen Alpha is out in the malls.
No, absolutely. I mean, my Gen Alpha is going to be 10, and she has made requests like, Mom, I think you should just drop us off at Sephora with some money, and then we'll meet you at the front door in 15 minutes. Absolutely not. But to your point, that's exciting to them, you know? They do want to have those experiences
For
together.
sure.
So it's going to be interesting. Okay, well, so it kind of tied, I think, a little bit to LinkedIn, but you also have this Live Your Life affiliate program that you've launched. And so can you tell us a little bit about how that has come about, and why that is effectively resonating?
So many transitions happening in retail right now, right? And I think this is another one of them, is that creator 1.0 has happened over the last few years. Obviously, TikTok has been at the center of that. And I have to say that no platform has more profoundly impacted our business over the last couple of years as TikTok. when a gene that is the 65th best-selling gene shoots up to the top five, the first call I get from someone is it going viral on TikTok? And the answer is almost always, yes, it is. But the insight in launching the Live Your Life affiliate community was this: back to these 35,000 physical store associates, they really are on the front lines of the relationship with the customer. What if we could use that inspiration and create digital store associates out in the digital world? And the way to do that is really to make influencers and creators business partners as well. And so what we're going to do is allow affiliates and influencers to sign up for this community and get access to commissions, get access to early access to product, access to experiences. And the hope and belief is that they can also become our digital store associates, and they'll be making some money. We'll be making some money. Their follower base will be satisfied because they are so closely tied to that individual creator in what he or she is wearing. So I think this is a real big shift. Again, Creator 1.1 content kind of served to you, and now commerce comes into play. And you and I both know that there are parts, there are regions around the world where social commerce has taken on and huge importance. Mm-hmm. You and I've talked before in Asia Pacific mm-hmm. specifically. And while that hasn't necessarily translated to the States, I do think this affiliate creator idea may translate even better and even quicker. We've had some success on platforms like LTK and ShopMy, but the insight is, why not start something ourselves? We have such a huge mm-hmm. customer base, such a loyal customer base, and so many brand advocates. Maybe there's something that we can do symbiotically. And hey, it just launched. It's early days. I'm sure we're going to learn something. But I hope it is just another indication of this willingness to innovate and try things. Because if you don't, again, Gen Z and Gen Alpha will pass you by.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their ability to create these days is so fluent for them. I mean, they're not even trying. They have the tools. They know how to work it. It's a whole different level. And Alpha, and then behind them, it's going to be even more. So it's great that you're staying at the forefront of that. At the forefront as well, I mean, you guys, we talked a little bit about culture when you brought up sports, but you know, you were just at Coachella, and we are talking about generations that care very much about experiences. How do you see opportunities for American Eagle from a more experiential standpoint? And with that, you've done things like the Denim Deli pop-up, and really working with how your brand shows up in inventive and surprising ways. But what are your thoughts, you know, on the opportunities of that? And what do you think makes it work well?
When we look at research about what our consumer base cares about most in terms of cultural pillars, we've mentioned sports, but music and experiences would be right up there as well. And that's why I feel like these festivals or the pop-ups that we've been doing in a few key cities are so important in developing brand love. And listen, the return on investment is not as immediate as a Meta or a Google, mm-hmm. but I think that it creates this brand affinity and brand love and almost this desirability to enter into these worlds that are here today and gone tomorrow. I'll quickly mention the denim pop-ups, and I'll get to Coachella. But last year in Austin, this year in Nashville, we did these denim pop-ups, two very important cities to our company, but two very culturally relevant cities, largely because they are such bases of music. This Nashville Denim Deli pop-up, Melissa, was wildly successful, mobbed by our core customers all weekend. We had Abby Anderson, the country artist who is opening Stagecoach this weekend. We had Chase Stokes, one of our brand ambassadors, the star of Outer Banks, stop by. And I've just never seen so much on the ground love, but also the social love for this was crazy as well. And so many communities in this country raising their hands of please come to us next. So it just shows you, again, this immersive quality of bringing your brand to life is important. And these music festivals are like almost a rite of passage for people these days. And, you know, Coachella and again, Stagecoach this weekend is a great example of that. And while our core Gen Z audience is there, it is multi-generational as well. I was kind of blown away at Coachella, millennials, even dinosaurs like me, Gen X. I don't know, Stagecoach will be the same. And again, it's about being together, a sense of humanity, music at the heart of it, style certainly surrounding it. You know, what's your outfit is a really big, important thing. And then there were some really clever activations out there. I think best one I saw, Melissa, was from Pinterest, which is a platform that has been around for a moment, but we have definitely seen takeoff in the last 12 to 18 months for Gen Z. And I think that Gen Z is looking for a healthier environment to interact or to create themselves. And there are some environments that are a little bit more, comparing my life to your life, and Pinterest is a safer environment. So I really loved the way Pinterest came to life out there. There was some wellness components. There were some styling components. There was some really inspiration moments. So I think so important for brands to be out in the wild because your customer is.
Yes.
And, you know, we have great finance partners here at American Eagle. But I have to say, like, they have to and do push us appropriately on, hey, you know, what's this return on investment? But the reality is creating brand love and creating brand demand, it goes beyond, again, just a transactional ad. And that's why we've seen so much success in the real world.
No, I think it's so important. I mean, I'm always trying to be out and about and seeing what's happening. And I've been lucky in that I've been able to do that from an international and national lens. But it is how you get that inspiration and you can experience the tactile elements of it and, you know, how people respond to it. But I think it's so important, like you said, I mean, as a CMO, like, how would you maybe break it down a little to the audience? And I've spoken to, you know, kind of past guests with the same kind of question, because I think it's so important. People can get so stuck in profitability in the moment and, you know, without the longer term purview, how do you balance that out, right? How do you effectively balance it out and get buy-in of knowing some things are going to be long tail, but are critical for the brand and the positioning and the loyalty, and then offset that with kind of the more everyday look at profitability.
Yeah, I think when you, and some of these places I've been, so maybe this is self-fulfilling what I'm about to say, but when you look at the most successful American retail brands, and by successful, I would say that have had longevity, that have been around for more than a moment, there is a method to the madness that each of them bring. And I don't want to say a formula because it makes it sound so easy, but there is a DNA that different generations come in and out of. And let me explain myself. Calvin Klein, clearly continuing to have lots of marketing success, but the formula hasn't dramatically changed, meaning they're going to take the most culturally relevant person, shoot that person likely in some provocative advertising, and then lean very heavily into media to get that word out. You know, it happened with Marky Mark. It happened with Brooke Shields. In my era, it happened with Justin Bieber. And today that team is executing the play at a very high level with Bad Bunny and the actor from Chef, right? So there's that. And you know, Abercrombie's been around since 1892. They've got their thing, Gap, which a lot of us are fascinatingly watching right now. They have their thing. And here at American Eagle, you know, we're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary in just a couple of years. And for most of that journey, we have targeted a very young generation. So think about the tap dancing required to always have a new generation coming in to the brand and often graduating from the brand as well, right? And so when you think about the DNA that has made us so great over such a long period of time, you kind of have to continue to invest in that. And when I look back, and I did when I joined this team, at the archives of where were we and how do we translate that for the future, you do look at festivals, you do look at talent, mm-hmm. you do look at TV shows and movies and integration in that particular way. You do think about giving back to communities and making an impact in the world in a positive way. And so while our playbook is very 2025 and beyond, much of the DNA has actually been developed in 1977 and in our past. And so I think that is why, you know, we have the gift of having a great chairman and CEO, Jay Schonstein, who does have a long view. I have the great gift of having mm-hmm. an amazing boss named Jen Foyle, who believes passionately about brand just as much as about a great P&L. And so I think that, you know, internal support, and then also, you know, hopefully the approach that our team is taking from a marketing perspective is really serving us well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's so important, because I do think it's so easy as a brand to be seduced by watching what everybody else is doing. And then you can alienate the audience because you have an identity crisis because you're trying to just follow trends and all the things. So it's a really important balance to have of knowing who you are and being true to your DNA, but also being innovative at the same time.
The hardest thing to say is no. And one of my former CEOs really educated me on that, and it stuck with me to this day. But I 1,000% agree with you, Melissa. I mean, some of the things that we say no to isn't because they won't work for other brands and won't be widely successful, but they may not fit into what we are doing here, and that's okay. I think that is why you kind of are seeing a few of these iconic American retail brands have an amount of success in the marketplace right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that whole article, which is a whole other episode, but all these American, you know, these mall brands coming back, right?
You include J. Crew in there. It's a really interesting time in that, you know, mid to upper middle market for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that the generation finds some like nostalgia in the brands too. Like they want to have those relationships, which is fun. So the conversation always goes so fast before we go, the future. And we've touched upon a little bit throughout this episode, especially talking about Gen Alpha, but from where you sit, what are you excited about 2 years from now and then 5 years from now?
You know, Melissa, it is almost impossible to answer a question like that these days, right? Because the world is moving so fast. And some of it, again, for the very positive with AI. And as we record this podcast, obviously lots going on in the, you know, geopolitical environment as well to navigate. But I think there's a couple themes that are exciting to me. One is the idea that speed matters more than ever, and creating an environment for our internal teams where we can turn and burn very quickly to surprise and delight our customer base is going to be extremely important. I think that's one. Two, I really believe that retail continues to be in the entertainment business, not the retail business anymore. We are competing for time and attention from gaming, from food, from travel, from music, from all sorts of things. And so we almost need to program our product and marketing roadmaps in the minds of an entertainment company. And so I think that's super fascinating. Three, I want to make sure our industry doesn't get trapped into shiny toy syndrome. I think that sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, you use technology for technology's sake instead of using technology for the customer's sake. And I do think whether it's AI or other future technologies, we have to always remember what is the opportunity we're trying to provide the customer, or what is the challenge we're trying to solve for the business. And, you know, things like finding the right sizing when you're shopping in the app or online has been, you know, an age-old opportunity for our retail industry to solve, and we haven't quite solved it yet. But I actually do think now some of these AI tools may allow it. So again, how do we continue to think through customer first is important. And then I'll end on something that is going to be near and dear to your heart, is that even with the continuing advancements in technology that will probably blow our minds away, I still believe human beings are human beings and will crave physical, tactile, real-world experiences. They will evolve, they will change, but I do think we should all continue to think about how to bring great brands to life in unique and interesting ways. And yes, on the malls and in the high streets, but my gut is that's going to evolve over time. And there might be more temporary spaces, and there may be pop into certain communities, and then you pop out of a community. But like, I think that is going to be something for all of us to challenge ourselves with, to remain relevant and successful.
No, absolutely. I do believe the up and coming generation is feeling the same too, because the digital relationships they make, the physical relationships they have trump them every time. That's where they're gaining the true emotional connections. So this is a great conversation. Time goes so quickly, but Craig,
I could have continued on for another hour. Maybe we'll have to do part two down the road at some point.
We're going to have to do part two, because you're going to be innovating anyway. So we're going to have to discuss that. But thank you so much for taking the time. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, I'm sure people aren't following you on LinkedIn. They're going to be, because Craig, you're always sharing your excitement and enthusiasm, and also kind of what's new and fresh on your posts. So Craig Brommers, again, Chief Marketing Officer at American Eagle. Thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Thanks, Melissa, for having me.